Henderson, Nevada. The 2017 American Legion World Series champions. What a great pitching performance we saw tonight.
It's all about Shane Spencer there. I tell you what, two wins in this series, and man, what he did tonight, huh?
That audio of Mike Hogwood and Steve Woodard calling the final out and celebration of the 2017 American League, I should say American Legion World Series, was courtesy of ESPNU. And just a heads up, you'll be hearing a lot of sound bites from those two this morning as we have an awesome show planned featuring Nevada's newest celebrities who are here with us in studio right now. Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman, and we are here every Sunday from 8 to 9 on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, the official home of the Vegas Golden Knights. We are also streaming live on LVSportsNetwork.com. The Twitter handle is Out of Line, I should say at Out of Line, 1340 AM. And you can find us on Facebook. The page is called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. Also joining me in studio, as almost always, the guy that mans the wheel of steals, answers the phone, and as he approaches middle age, can still rock a bucket hat with the best of them, the Lotus Broadcasting soccer guru and future Hall of Fame producer, Magnum. And as cool as it is to have a live audience here in studio, who, as I speak, they were just indulging in some donuts and some orange juice a minute ago, but right now they're back in studio with me. Hey, let's face it, without you guys out there, there's no show. So if you have something on your mind, give Magnum a call, turn down your radio, and say what you got to say. The Fox Sports studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Yeah, What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University, and based on what I'm seeing in today's show log, 1 hour might be enough time if we cut out all the commercials and if I spike Magnum's orange juice with NyQuil. Okay, while my studio guests knock down the makeshift breakfast, the first round today will be with Todd Dewey, the sports betting columnist at the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Todd is already on the phone awaiting. Oh, he's not on the phone yet. Magnum's got to get him on the phone. So get him on the phone, and we're going to be talking about Mayweather, McGregor, and some of the prop bets that might interest us. Time permitting, maybe we'll get a few tips on which way to go 1 week in week one of the NFL. And after the Dewman exit stage left, it will be all about Blue Sox and Wolves. We will talk to skipper Scott Baker. Hopefully, I know he is not feeling well. He's not in studio now. We'll see if we can get him on the phone. He is the orchestrator and head man behind Basic High School and Henderson's now legendary American Legion team. And as I mentioned, also in studio this morning are some of the members of that World Series championship team. Plus later, we'll still plan on hitting you with the features, blazing fact this and the Las Vegas 51s report. On tap at Bubba's University, earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff, where the only majors are mayhem and good times. Bring your Rebel ID, and your first beer is free. You can roll 24 hours a day. That means they never close. Bubba's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. Go to bubbasuniversity.com for more information. And yes, it's finally here, the big farce. I mean, fight between undefeated boxer Floyd Mayweather Jr. and UFC madman Conor McGregor. Hundreds of millions will be spent and made on this, whatever you call it. And joining us now to break it down is former Las Vegas Wranglers and Las Vegas 51's beat writer. As a matter of fact, last year he was covering the UNLV football beat, but now it's a bigger role as the betting columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Todd Dewey. Dewey, man, we are now less than a week away, and has anything convinced you that McGregor might have a chance in this fight?
First of all, top of the morning to you there, Brian, and sounds like you've got a lot of coffee already.
It's Red Bull, brother, Red Bull, the breakfast of champions.
Oh, man. What was that question again? I'm sorry.
I'm just asking. What do you think? Does Conor McGregor have a snowball's chance in hell to win in this fight? I mean, I'm so tired of talking about it. It's a farce. You know, dude, man, I've said, if the two of them, you put them in a room, take off the gloves, take out all the rules, Conor McGregor kicks the crap out of Floyd Mayweather. But in a ring, where there's rules and it's boxing. I don't care if it's 3-ounce gloves. McGregor has no chance to win this fight. What do you think?
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. You know, it seems all the experts and sports book industry people I've spoken with all, you know, think Floyd Mayweather is, you know, almost a lock to win this fight. And, you know, right now he's at a 5-1 favorite at Westgate and William Hill. You know, it opened up at 25-1 before the fight was made. And, you know, some people think the true odds should be like 70-1 because he was 35-1 favorite against Andre Berto in his last fight, you know, against a professional seasoned boxer. And McGregor being in his first fight, you know, the true odds should be like 70-1, and he's just a 5-1 favorite. And, you know, aside from just one lucky shot by McGregor when he comes charging at him early on, I agree. I don't see any way he's going to win this fight.
A lot of different odds, knockouts, decisions. You and I spoke last night for a little bit, and I think a gimmick bet that I kind of like is Conor McGregor getting disqualified. I mean, you know, I can see him getting frustrated and maybe headbutting Floyd a few times when he just can't get through and connect on anything. It's only 5-1, but I like that gimmick bet. And the other one, you know, like Mayweather, my prediction's Mayweather in the 4th round. That pays 18-1. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, well, Floyd, you know, he had some knockouts early in his career. His last 7 fights have gone the distance. I don't know if he has the power to knock out McGregor, but it wouldn't be surprised, you know, because you figure McGregor's going to charge at him right from the start. And, you know, Floyd's the best defensive fighter of all time, arguably. And being the counterpuncher he is, you know, maybe he could land a few and drop them. But, yeah, Floyd to win by disqualification is plus 600, so, you know, you put up 100 to win 600. You know, Floyd by knockout, TKO, or disqualification is, you know, minus 130, put up 130 to win 100. To win by decision is plus 190. And, yeah, you said in the 4th round, I mean, to pick the exact round, you know, that's why you get such good odds. But yeah, I mean, I could see, you know, McGregor said that he was going to take out Floyd inside of 4 rounds. And then with the lighter gloves, he said 2 rounds. So if you're looking at McGregor, round 1 is 20-1, and for him to win in round 2 is 25-1. So 90% of the money is on McGregor, so the public wants to put up a little to win a lot. But, you know, the big money is coming in on Floyd.
Well, yeah, of course, the $888,000 bet the Maloof brothers put on Mayweather after watching him work out once. And they're on every radio show like they're experts. They're experts because they bet almost $1 million on the fight. That's what makes them experts. But what's right now the most popular prop bet on that fight?
Well, like I said, everybody's betting on McGregor, and McGregor by knockout is a pretty popular one.
I was wondering if there's any prop bets, like, will someone get, well, you know, because it's, I mean, it's a farce. Will someone get hit below the belt, 20-1? Headbutts, you know, I mean, how many headbutts in the fight? Things
they
like
don't
that.
Have any of those, but you could bet on just about whatever round, you know, the total rounds over under. You could pick the exact rounds, you know, for each fighter to win or just the fighter to go, you know, the fight to go the distance is plus 2-1. They have stuff, you know, Aaron Judge home runs against how many rounds the fight's going to go. You know, it's like a Super Bowl style menu of prop bets. You could bet on, you know, if either fighter will get knocked down at least once. But I'm with you. I think, you know, McGregor's going to come charging at him, and he's not used to fighting long fights, and that, you know, Floyd will just put on his normal defensive show, and well, not even a show. You know, his fight's usually boring because he's such a defensive fighter. It doesn't let anyone hit him. But that's why I'm with you. I could see McGregor getting really frustrated, and I guess they have a thing where he would lose his purse or most of it if he goes, quote, MMA on him. But I could see him getting so frustrated, at least shoving him down or something where he could, you know, lose by DQ.
That wouldn't surprise me at all. I'm looking forward to this fight being over with so I can start preparing for a real boxing match coming up in early September, which should be a hell of a fight between Triple G and Canelo. I think that's going to be the fight of the year. Unfortunately, this one's overshadowing it, and I just want to put it behind me. So, Dew, I'll ask you this as we put it behind us. I told you my prediction, I'm going Mayweather in the fourth round. What do you think? What do you got for me?
I'm definitely going with Mayweather, and I have a hard time seeing McGregor going the distance in this one, one way or the other. Yeah, I think it's going to end in a knockout or a DQ. So, I haven't come up with a round yet, but I'm going with Mayweather to win and not go the distance. So he's going to win by a knockout or DQ.
All right, I like it. Dude, before I let you go, we got the NFL breathing down our throats right around the corner. Week one is coming up. Any bets that you're hearing a lot about week one or any lines that you look at and you're like scratching your head like, wow, this doesn't make any sense. Somebody knows something I don't.
I don't know, if anything's that out of the ordinary. You know, these lines have been up for so long on week one of the NFL. They put them up early in the summer, so people have been all over them. So there's not any line that's really out of whack. But, just looking from I kind of see it shaping up as last year's NFL season. I don't know what you think, but, the Patriots were 16-2-1 against the spread, amazingly. Falcons were 16-2-1 to the over. And, I think the Patriots are stronger than last year, but their line was bet up from 7 up to 9 against the Chiefs in the season opener on September 7th. So there's not much value there. The Falcons are by 7 over the Bears. I like the Giants getting 3.5 from the Cowboys. They've had success against Cowboys in the past. Obviously, Elliott won't be in there. I think the Cowboys just have a much tougher schedule than they did last year. So, they're not going to do as well as last year. Looking at season win totals, I really like the Bears under 5.5. I don't see any way that team wins 6 games.
Mitch Trubisky's not going to get it done in his rookie year.
Yeah, I mean, the guy had a great preseason opener. Preseason opener, and no matter how good he looks, he doesn't have any weapons, and he's still just a rookie that barely played 1 year of college football.
Well, I knew that you would start with the Patriots, Mr. Boston. I figured that was going to happen. And I'll tell you, I made one prediction, Dewey. This is what I'm saying is happening. The New York Jets, I said it before, the New York Jets will not win a game this year. They are going to tie the dubious record the Detroit Lions did back in 2008, another 0-16. That team has absolutely mortgaged the season before it started. It makes me sick to my stomach. If I was a Jets fan right now, I'd throw up and sell my season tickets. But that's just me. Magnum hates it. Look at him waving at me. Your Jets suck. That's the way it is. Hey, listen, we are, we got to take a break, man. As always, my friend, I appreciate you joining the show. We'll talk soon. We got a whole NFL season in front of us, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me, Brian. And I just wanted to say, I know you have the Blue Sox in the studio or on the line for this show, and I just really want to congratulate the Blue Sox for an amazing accomplishment, winning the American Legion national title. That's amazing. Congratulations, guys.
Yeah, two of the studs of the squad sitting right next to me here. I'm intimidated, man. I mean, it's crazy. These guys are really good. Dude, we appreciate you. We're going to take a break. This is Out of Line, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, home of the Vegas Golden Knights.
Here's the Nevada defense. J.J. Smith at left. Nick Thompson's a great center fielder. John Howard, Bobo, around the infield. Giles Nelson is at short. Huddleston at second. That's a good double play combination. Jack Thomas Wold at first. Roger Riley behind the plate. As we told you, Shane Spencer pitching.
You just heard the lineup. That's the 2017 American Legion World Series champions. Defensive setup that they were announcing before the game on Wednesday night. Tuesday night, right?
Yeah.
Tuesday night was the championship game. I'll get it straight. I was watching it. I recorded it. I actually, honestly, guys, I watched it again last night just so I could refresh myself with it. But listen, here in the studio this morning is not manager of the reigning back-to-back state champion, Basic High School Wolves, and more recently, we're talking last week manager of the American League World Series champion Southern Nevada Blue Sox. Scott Baker was also the 2017 Nevada High School Baseball Coach of the Year. We'll get him on in a week. I heard he's not doing well today, but here also are some of the key players that were part of the aforementioned championships. They include first-team All-State first baseman Jack Thomas Wald, who batted 460 as a senior at Basic this past year. And listen, don't get Q-tips. This is real. He hit 20 home runs. 21, excuse me. I don't want to cut you short of the one. 21 home runs for the Blue Sox this summer. And also joining a second-team All-State catcher Roger Riley, who as a senior hit 394. And along with Jack Wald, have been the leaders of the Basic High School's baseball team for the last 2 years. And by the way, both are staying here to play college ball next year, Jack at UNLV and Roger at CSN. Also joining us a little bit later on via the telephone is rising senior Nick Thompson, who without question has a great shot at making that All-State list next season. Nick is as good of a defensive center fielder as the state of Nevada has to offer. And as those of us that follow Basic Baseball and watch the American League World Series know, he's one heck of a pitcher as well. Guys, welcome to Out of Line, and let me start. We'll start with talking to Jack. Jack, a 460 batting average in your senior season at Basic, and then you kill it even more during Legion in the summer, which was just, we just heard that, including knocking out 21 home runs leading up to the American League World Series. I mean, it is said that hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports. So what is it? Because to me, it looks like you're standing at the plate and you're seeing beach balls, not baseballs.
It's just composure. You got to stay calm in the box, but you got to make sure you're disciplined with your approach, and you know, you find something that works and you stick with it. You start to perfect your craft. You work on the same things every day until you get it right.
Well, you've obviously done that, man. It's pretty cool. So you have this ridiculously successful high school career. You're arguably as good as any high school first baseman in the country. And don't get me wrong, as a fan, I'm thrilled about it. But why stay home and play your college ball at UNLV?
I love it here. I love Vegas. You know, thanks to the program, I've been able to travel all over the country to play in all types of different places. And there's nothing like Vegas. You know, you can play year-round, and I love that, you know. You can be outside, and it gets cold here, it gets hot, but it's never too cold, it's never too hot. You can always play. And I don't want to go somewhere where you can't play, so.
Listen, you're a big young man, and I know some guys like Trace Evans play both football and baseball. Did you ever think of doing both in high school? I mean, gotta believe Coach Cahill at least made an effort to get you on the football team, right?
Couple sports I thought about, but never really went through with it. One of the coaches there wanted me to wrestle for a little while, but that didn't sound like too much fun to me. But it's just been baseball, you know. We practiced every day, and that was enough for me. So
it's funny. I played baseball, wrestled, and played football in high school. It's just so different back then. I'm in Michigan. I mean, that they roll up the tarps for baseball in October, and you're pretty much done until late March, other than playing inside. But I only wrestled because our wrestling coach was our chemistry teacher, and I needed help with my grade in chemistry. So I didn't say that. By the way, Coach, if you're out there listening somewhere, no, I studied hard. Trust me, I really did. Listen, moving over, Roger, I wanted to ask you. First of all, I told you at the Galleria Mall on Thursday, to say I'm proud of you would be an understatement. It was spring of 2013, and yet it seems like only yesterday when I drove you home from practice when you were playing for Pat Cassell up in Centennial and asked you to sit a little closer to my son in the back seat in hopes what you had would rub off on him. He's still pissed off at me about that to this very day, but he did say that he loves you. He didn't like me doing that to him. But how cool has this journey been for you? I mean, and how much did the move to Basic help and change the player that you are today?
I wouldn't be the player I am today without Scott Baker and the Basic program, and I have so much respect for that man, and I'm so grateful for him. And I just didn't feel a good fit at Centennial when I was over there, and as soon as I got to Basic, I was welcomed, and they're all my brothers, they're all my family. Bake's like my uncle, kind of, like my estranged uncle, but yeah, I love every one of those guys. They mean the world to me, and I don't see myself being anywhere else. I'll always be a Basic guy. Yeah.
Well, it's camaraderie that I can tell you for life. Being a guy that's been out of high school, I think when I was in high school, there's still one or two dinosaurs running around. But, you know, I still, when I go back for reunions, it's amazing how much we love each other. And still, to this day, years later, that team effort and the camaraderie that you get in the tryouts, the sweating, the trials and tribulation. And the thing is, we kind of sucked, and we still had that going. So to have what you guys had, it is truly magical. But, okay, about the championship game, I heard that the team from Nebraska, which is kids from a baseball powerhouse called Creighton Prep, were talking a lot of smack during the championship game, like bad smack. Fact or fiction?
Oh, that's definitely fact.
Okay, and since it's a fact, is that why before the game, when both teams were lined up for introductions and the national anthem is going on, I look, they're doing a pan across your team, and I see Roger Riley looking at the other team. I mean, if looks could kill, they would have had to forfeit because they'd all been dead. Is that part of the reason, or is that just your makeup before the game?
Oh, that's just my outlook. Killer instinct when I'm on the field, you know?
I always used to try to find a way to hate my opponents, too. I mean, you just do. You're playing them, you look at them, it's like, God, that guy's just ugly. I just want to make him uglier. You know, I totally get it. Okay, not trying to embarrass you, but the answer was pretty cool that you gave me when I asked you Thursday at Galleria Mall that aside from the scholarship, as I'm sure there was some other opportunities for you, why did you tell me you wanted to stay close to home and go to CSN?
I'm a daddy's boy. I wasn't ready to leave my dad yet. Wasn't ready to get out by myself. There's still a lot to do, and not seeing him at every game would have been really different for me, so I wasn't ready for that quite yet.
I don't know if he would be able to handle not seeing you at every game. I know how close the two of you are. I used to sit with your dad up in Centennial, and I mean, he didn't miss a pitch. He was so in tune and so into it, and it was really cool to see that, and just to watch you grow as a player, and I love those relationships. I've got a great relationship with my son as well. We used to do the show together till I kicked him off. No, I'm just kidding. But hey, what will you miss most about your high school experience, and what can we expect from Roger Riley in the future?
That's a tough one. I'm definitely going to miss the bond with my teammates because there's nothing like that I've ever had in my life. Like, I'm not even that close with some of my siblings. But what to expect, I'm just going to go out to CSN, College of Southern Nevada. I'm going to play the way I always have, and hopefully I can get a spot for this upcoming spring season.
I'm looking forward to seeing you. I'm going to be out there a lot. You're going to be reunited with some guys. I think Kyle Horton's going there from Centennial. Yeah. A couple people that you probably played with. You'll all be reunited there. And CSN is a feeder system, man. So it's kind of cool that they're always a lot of fun to watch. They are a very fundamentally sound unit typically. And UNLV's been playing well as well. And again, this guy is going to be at UNLV next year. And just listen to the respect that he has from some of the top high school announcers in the country. Uh-oh. My recorder went off. Doesn't that figure? Hold on, Megs. See, this is what happens when you get here a little bit late and I can't run it, but we gotta play this. So hold on 1 second. I'll get it back. Here we go.
Here's their man right here. I wouldn't be surprised if they maybe put him on. Jack Thomas Wold graduated last spring, and this summer he hit 21 home runs. It's almost unfathomable. But he's got power here, and they are. They're going to put him on. I mean, you got to.
First base open. Best hitter on your team.
He's not just a good hitter. He's a great hitter. And he has been the one consistent bat in the Nevada lineup here in Shelby.
Jack, that is national announcers. That was on national television. I mean, you're amongst every baseball enthusiast right now, like me around this country. You're a household name. How does that make you feel when you hear that? That's got to, I mean, chills up and down your spine, man?
Yeah, a little bit. I kind of just got chills listening to it right now. But makes me feel accomplished because you ask anybody, and I'll be at that field, and I'll be in the cage, and I'll be working out. I'll be doing extra work more than anybody. And to hear somebody, I want to say, appreciating the work that I've put in and seeing that, seeing how successful I've been, that it makes me feel good.
A major league pitcher is a guy that's saying that about you, a former major league pitcher. How cool. I mean, like I said, it was great to hear. Roger, same thing. That championship game, you know, I watched, and man, every time up you did what you're supposed to do. You laid down the bunt your first time up, and you're hitting the ball hard every other time up. And I know that last at bat was frustrating. You wanted to get that one legit hit in the last game, and this is what it sounded like, and it should have been. And a guy named Lucky got lucky.
Roger Riley is the batter. Laid down a sacrifice bunt in the first inning. Flew out to left his last time up. Ground ball is going to eat up the third baseman. How about that? Went off to third baseman Steyer. Lucky got the rebound.
Lucky was lucky.
Lucky was lucky. And Nebraska gets out of that inning. Tied 1-1.
Frustrating, huh?
Yeah, it's tad frustrating.
I saw you pull the helmet off, but you were good. The best part about Roger is he pulls his helmet off and he screams something into his helmet. The only one that has any idea what you said is the inside of your helmet. And I'll bet it wasn't something you wanted the rest of the world to hear, right?
Yeah, I can't share it on
I don't want you radio. To. I've said it a lot of times. My helmet had a lot of bad words said into it too, man, over the course of time. But really, out of the two of you, let me ask you a question. This is rhetorical. You guys are going to love this question. Who likes baseball more between the two of you?
Oh, me.
Me.
I thought no way was that going to happen, right? Hey, listen, we got to take a break. We're going to come back on the other side. I got Blazin. I got Fact This. I definitely want to talk more of these guys. And I got someone else coming on the show here in a second. And I'm going to try to find this if I can. And that is, let's see, where was that at? It was right, this one right here. And you guys remember this, and I'm sure he does too. And a pretty scary moment early in the game against Nebraska when this happened. And you guys probably remember it. I'll bet everyone was holding their collective breath.
Base hit here. He can give his team the lead. That's going to be deep enough to at least give the run on. Thompson at center field.
We're going to see if it was trying on the transfer or...
I thought he caught it and then he dropped it. Whatever, he does get a run on.
Yeah, it was on.
I thought he caught that.
He did. It was on the transfer. Hopefully they get this correct. And they did.
It's going to be a sacrifice fly for Dylan Phillips.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot.
And like we talked about with Nebraska hitting, they may squeeze here. You know, you can do anything by saying, you know, man.
Thompson's the number 9 hitter.
And we've seen him bunt already in this series.
Has struck out twice tonight.
And I'd be doing the same thing Mr. Culliver did there, throwing that breaking ball first pitch and trying to get him to chase just like that.
Struck out in the second, struck out in the fourth, did Nick Thompson.
Yeah, well, he struck out in the second, he struck out in the fourth, but he surely didn't strike out in the sixth when Nick Thompson in that at-bat actually got a sacrifice fly to center field, if I'm not mistaken, and knocked in J.J. Smith. Closer play than it should have been at the plate, but the center fielder made a hell of a throw right on the money. J.J. slides, I think he's in easily, but he has pretty good speed. But the bottom line is Nick came through in that last at-bat. And, Nick, we talked about that at the Galleria Mall on Thursday a little bit, that last at-bat and your focus. What's going through your mind when you go up there again? You've got a runner in scoring position, less than 2 outs, and you don't want to go out and not get that guy in and force the next guy up, John Howard Bobo, to come up and knock in that run with 2 outs again. You weren't going to let that happen that third time, were you?
No, I was not. I was thinking just, you know what, just do whatever you can. Get a fly ball. Get it through the infield because the infield is playing in. So just do whatever you can, especially with my team already being mad at me for striking out twice.
You know, it's a tough position to be in. And the bottom line is, Nick, I watched the game for a second time last night, and the two times you struck out, both times, I mean, that was just wicked drops that anybody would have trouble hitting. I mean, you almost got to get up in the box. I don't even know how you put those in play. You did a good job. And the bottom line is you came through, and that turned out to be the winning run, and you deserved it. You pitched so well the game before. If I remember correctly, what a situation. Bases loaded, nobody out, and you got him out of that inning, which was unbelievable from a spectator's standpoint. Took him into extra innings and ended up getting the win in that game, along with making some unbelievable plays throughout the tournament and throughout the summer and throughout your career so far at Basic in center field. But talking about center field, how about the play in center field? We listened to it going into break that produced Nebraska's only run of the game. I mean, after seeing the replay a few times, it was obvious the ball came out on the transfer, but for a minute, it looked like they were saying you dropped it. You had to be relieved when they got it right.
Yeah, I was. It made me mad when I saw they said I dropped it. I was like, "Are you kidding me right now?" I mean, now it's first and third with one out. I was like, "Man, nah, I just screwed my team." And then when they reversed it, I was like, "Whew, man, that was a close one."
It was a close one. And again, this is Blazing right now, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, the 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. They've got two happy hours every day. They are America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. And they're a stone's throw away from Centennial Hills Hospital over there in Centennial off of Durango again. And Nick, you're blazing today, man. We give out a blazing every week. And by the way, the guy's got a t-shirt for you we're going to give you when they leave here today. But like I said, typically a lazy fly ball to center field wouldn't constitute blazing, but it is the body of work that you put in. And again, the fact that that third time to come through when easily you can mentally check out when this guy, and he even started you off with just a nasty curveball, and you still came through, you put the ball in play, you did it, my friend. You are blazing. I got to ask you, you know, this team coming up, man, I'm looking down the roster, and Basic has a heck of a good team coming up this year. What's your expectations and goal for the 2018 season at Basic?
I mean, after the last 2 years, it's just going to be trying to repeat, obviously. I mean, from what I've heard, we're supposed to be better this year than we were the last 2 years. So we'll see how that works out.
What do you like better? You like playing the middle of the outfield, or you like standing on the bump?
I don't know. They're both pretty cool. I like the outfield, though. I mean, I can chase down balls, and I'd give myself a chance to help my team better, I think.
I like it all. I'm looking forward to seeing you in 2018 at Basic. I know the guys here are proud of you. Like I said, I can imagine when you came through in that last one. Great stuff. We look forward to you again next year. Thanks for joining the show. And again, Nick Thompson blazing this week on Out of Line. Thanks, Nick.
Thank you guys for having me.
You're very welcome. Hey, Mags, let's take a real quick break if we can. You don't have any more breaks for me? All right, well, pull up the microphone. How come you're not joining at all today, man? You had nothing to say to these kids? I mean, I understand you're a soccer fan.
Well, I thought you had the microphone, you know, ready for someone else to come in, so, you know.
I did, but we can't keep you off the mic the entire show. You know, I know you didn't get a chance to see these guys yet play. I recorded it. I'm going to have you over to check out this game.
Yeah, but you know what? I did mention it on Monday and Tuesday during the Seat Williams show from 2 to 3. It was part of my dope. That we had a bunch of kids from Southern Nevada representing our state and our city and making us all proud. And, you know, I think it's pretty awesome that these guys, even if they would have lost, I think we as a community would have been proud of them, much like we were the Mountain Ridge Little League, who, they were screwed by a team that cheated. Fortunately, you guys, you didn't have to go down that route, but it's very cool, you know. And ironically, I think it was Monday night or Tuesday night, I actually drove by the American Legion Post 40 in Henderson, which I guess is really close to Basic High School, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not entirely familiar with the area, but it was a little bit of irony and very cool that that these kids, they went to, where was it, North Carolina? And you know, it looked, from what I read on Sunday afternoon, it looked like you guys were going to be out, and then some things happened and you guys were able to get into the semifinals and take care of business and then beat the Nebraska team who I had read beat you guys 9-1 earlier in the tournament, and you really shut them down. And you know, the one question I had though was Shane Spencer. Is he any relation to the former New York Yankee Shane Spencer?
I guess not. But Mags, I will tell you, Shane, if I'm not mistaken, I was going to invite him down. Obviously, he wasn't at Galleria because he got picked. He made a USA baseball team and went right from North Carolina to play for them. You know, Mags, he's 16 years old. He's going to be a junior. He's already throwing the ball in the upper 80s. He's got about four different pitches that he throws accurately. He got the pitch to, in my opinion, the best catcher in the state this year. How good, Roger, is Shane Spencer going to be? Two more years of high school baseball? That almost seems ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, he's something else, man. He's special. You don't see that every day. He's got a lot of talent. He's just got so much going for him, and the only person that's going to get in the way is himself. So,
this is a hitting lineup, 1-9. There is nobody in that lineup that's really an easy out for Nebraska. As you look at Steyer, when these two teams played on Thursday, Steyer was 4-6. The first three guys in the lineup each had four hits. We told you. The Nebraska team had 21 total.
But the one thing, Mike, is Shane Spencer didn't pitch against his team that first game. He ended up throwing the second game, so we'll see how he can work with these Nebraska hitters.
That's for damn sure. He didn't pitch the first game, and they looked like deers in headlights half the time trying to handle some of this kid's pitches. Got himself out of trouble, runners in scoring position. A guy had a leadoff triple, and he shuts him down and holds the guy at third. I mean, it was just the whole game. The fundamentals at basic are pretty incredible, and Scott Baker is a hell of a coach. I mean, I knew how good of a coach he was, or I should say I had heard how good of a coach he was. Watching him in action, Mags, this guy is special. And you're talking, like I said, this is a public school that is beating some of the top private schools in our country. And they're all kids that you got to live in the Henderson area. You got to be within the realm there. And I'm sure kids probably move and go down there to play for the guy, but that's okay.
Well, is that any different than a kid moving from Ohio or California to go play at Bishop Gorman? I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Well, there's a big difference. They get paid to do that.
Well, no, Gorman. But what I'm saying is, you know, if a kid wants to go play at a certain school, especially if it's a public school, then I don't see an issue with a kid moving to Henderson if he's a great baseball player and he knows that the basic program is really good and he wants to move there and play for basic, then so be it. You know what? These are kids' futures, and if a kid's talent is going to waste at another school, then he should go where his talent is going to be groomed and it's going to allow him to move on and play at the next level like these two guys are. You know, both going to be playing in college. Very excited that both of them are staying local. You know, it's pretty awesome, especially, you know, me, a UNLV grad. I always root for UNLV. You know, I go back to the Jim Schlossnagel days when I moved to Vegas. And, you know, I'm hoping that we're able to get the program back to that level where they are a threat to win the Mountain West every year and make a tournament appearance in the NCAAs, which, you know, I think that's what we all hope for living in Southern Nevada, unless, of course, you're a grad of another school. But you know, there's a certain amount of pride, and it seems like these guys have a lot of pride, and they represent the city very well. And you know, it's very cool that they're all basically the same high school. And you know, as a public school guy, I always root against the parochial schools because I'm a big proponent of parochial schools not playing public schools in state tournaments. Obviously, it's very hard here in Nevada because we really only have one or two parochial schools that are at the 4A level. So you know, anytime the public schools kick their ass, I'm on board with that. I'm cool with that. I like it.
Well, I'll tell you this much. Basic High School is becoming a baseball factory under Scott Baker. In the state playoffs this season, Mags, Basic went 7-0 and outscored their opponents 71-15, including a 16-6 win in the state championship game against Galena. I mean, Mags, the wild thing is that's a fact. Yeah. This seems like a good time to ask the players I have in studio right now why their coach is so successful and what he means and has meant to each one of you guys. Go ahead. You can talk first, Jack.
If you attended practice with us for, you know, a couple weeks, you would notice that he doesn't teach us like all these fundamentals and stuff like that, and he doesn't teach us he teaches how to do stuff, obviously, but that's not his main priority. He's all about CTC, control the controllable. The two things you can always control is your attitude, your effort. You got to be disciplined, don't panic, stay calm. We're the most prepared team in the country, and as you can see, we know that now. Like, we're always ready. We've faced every challenge that there is to be faced. We've done everything, injury, we've been through it all, and he teaches us about that.
Roger?
It wasn't always state championships and national titles. I would go to school in the fall, my freshman, sophomore year, and I perfected bringing a jug with me and knowing the exact amount of not getting a cramp while we're running. We ran a lot, but that's just because he demanded perfection, and that's what we tried to give him, and because we just respect him so much, and I'm excited to see what he does with his new players.
Question I got to ask you as we're running down and running out of time here today. After you went 1-2 in pool play, you scored 3 runs after what you guys did. I can imagine the heavy burden you were all carrying. Like, what in the hell happened to us? And then you find out by some miracle, you guys win like the 4th tiebreaker to get into the semifinals. And, you know, a friend of mine, Brian Simons, who helped told me you guys were at Galleria. That's what somebody called me up at work and said, hey, go see these guys. Cause I was like, me and him were talking about you all the time. And, of course, he is Kainoa Simons' grandfather. He told me that Kainoa, he talked to Kainoa the night after you guys found out you were going to be in the game. And he said, what the hell? He asked Kainoa, what's going on? 3 runs. Kainoa said to him, you won't be asking me that question after 2 games when we win the championship 2 games from now. And he said the confidence in my grandson was unbelievable. You can tell they refocused, and that like all of a sudden dialed you guys in to say, okay, now let's go. And of course you went on to score 7 runs in the semifinals game. But what did you guys say collectively when you found out like, wow, we're still playing? That had to be it had to be from like going so low after you lose to Michigan to an extreme high where you say, okay, guys, this is like destiny, right?
We just looking around, Bake was having the talk with us about how we just had a great year and how it was all just winding down, it was ending, and I was looking around and kids are on the verge of tears, and I just didn't want it to end. And we hear this one of these Legion ladies come over, and she's just telling us, like, what are you guys doing? You guys are playing tomorrow. And we all looked at each other and we all just got hopeful, and then we finally just found out that we were playing tomorrow, and we were like, well, why not? We're here already. So it was great.
And you went in, Jack, that game. Did you feel like the whole team had a boost of confidence after that? Like, and it's so cool having a guy and that blows my mind, the youngest player in the whole tournament, John Howard Bowell, keeps leading off with base hits, has to kind of ignite the team, and he did it again in the championship game. But did that just a whole new breath of fresh air?
It was a relief. You know, we were having that talk it was a great summer, but...
Yeah, that crappy talk where it's like, we got to say what we got to say because it's over.
Of course, yeah, you know, because in my head you're thinking like, oh, it was a great summer, but we have nothing to show for it. We didn't do anything. We didn't win the World Series. It was disappointing. Once we were able to play again, it was like another life, and we didn't want that feeling. You know, these are some of my best friends that I've been playing with for years and years, and I see them more than I see some of my family members, and I didn't want to lose with them. You never want to lose your last game.
And you didn't lose it. World Series, American Legion World Series champions, Jack Wald, Roger Riley in studio. Thank Nick Thompson for coming on the phone. Do man, we'll talk to you soon. This is Out of Line, man. I am digging this. World Series champions, American Legion, man, in Nevada. First time ever, man. It's pretty cool. Out of Line, out of time. Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, every Sunday morning, right here, 8 to 9. Home of the Vegas Golden Knights. We'll see you next week.